We now read the authority for the administration of this ordinance in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he'd supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. And after his example, we will endeavour to give thanks. We shall pray. O Lord, most high and most gracious God, help us, we pray, at this point to call upon thy name. For any duty, for every duty, we need thy help. And how we need thy help to remember the death of Christ in the way that he would have his people to remember it, with faith in exercise, with love going forth toward himself in warmth, with a thankfulness in the soul that is real, which acknowledges their own utter unworthiness of such a mercy, who are not worthy of the least of thy mercies. And here we have set before us in the symbols of the Lord's broken body and shed blood, here we have the gospel and the salvation by the blood of the Redeemer, which is the greatest of mercies to our souls, the putting away of sin by his death upon the accursed tree, the blotting out of transgressions by the pouring forth of his soul unto death, even the death of the cross. The wonderful grace that against all our disobedience is set his obedience. Against all our unworthiness is his worthiness. Against all our failures is set his finishing, the work that was given him to do. All the conditions fulfilled by himself. Oh, that he would have the glory, who is saying, This is my body, which is broken for you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. Oh, our God, do thou help us then, who sit at the table, to be rendering thanks to thee for thine unspeakable gift, to open up such storehouses of treasures of grace and mercy and love and kindness that are found in Christ, that are the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh, we feel how unsearchable are the depths of our sin, but oh, that the focus now would be on the unsearchable heights of thy grace, the unsearchable love, the unsearchable determination, the unsearchable sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, when the very pains of death and hell took hold on him, and he grief and trouble found, and not for sin that he had done, but for the sin his people have done. Oh, may there be faith view to look to him whom we have pierced. And may there be a mourning, a bitterness for our sin. But oh, may there be something of a gladness, joyfulness, a restoring to us of the joy of thy salvation. Come to us then, O God, we pray. Come over, we pray, all our sin, all our provocations. Be leaping upon those mountains and skipping upon those hills and meeting with us here at thy table. Help, O Lord, in addressing both the tables. Help, O Lord, in receiving thy word, and help us in receiving the sacrament of the supper, so that as surely as we eat bread and drink wine with our physical bodies, naturally and physically, we would be spiritually and by faith, not after a corporal or a carnal manner, that we'd be feeding on the very body and blood of Christ, that we would eat his flesh and drink his blood, his coming into the world, God manifest in the flesh, and his offering up of himself in the sacrifice of the tree, to drink down by faith the doctrine of his atoning work to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Be pleased to put away our iniquity, and be pleased to take from a common to a holy use as much of the bread and wine as will be used on this occasion. Oh, may this ordinance be used of thee to the weakening of sin. May it be used of thee to the strengthening of love to Christ. May he draw near and go with us. May hearts burn within us. Forgive our sins against thee. Receive us and help us, Lord. We pray for Jesus' sake only. Amen. Sitting at the Lord's table, friends, truly you may say, in the words of the psalmist, the Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Truly, truly, the Lord hath done things for you that he has not done for others. And the things that he has done for you that he has not done for others, truly, they are great things indeed. They are things so great that they could not be greater. They are things to do with so great salvation. The great Lord has done such great things for you that they are saving things. They are the things that save your souls from sin. They are the things that he has accomplished to redeem your souls from death, your eyes from tears, and your feet from falling. They are the things that have brought everlasting redemption to you. They are the great things of God, the great things of a great God, the great things of the second person of the Godhead, who, travelling in the greatness of his strength, has come, taking your own nature into union with his own, to be a saviour to you, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. The great things of salvation, the truly, wondrously, infinitely great things. God in Christ coming into the world, mighty to save, with all the infinite merit of his divine person, to bring in so great salvation. The Lord hath done great things for us. And as you have these great things all being brought to your attention, being centered and focused upon what this bread and this wine are appointed by himself to be signs and seals of, his death for you? Could he have done a greater thing for you? His incarnation was a great thing he did for you, to take your nature into union with his divine person, to become a near kinsman to you, to be bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh. That was a great thing. To live a life of perfect obedience, vicariously on your behalf, that would stand to your credit when you look at your own life and you see disobedience after disobedience and find fault yourself, even with the most holy of duties you ever engaged in. But his obedience, great things he's done for you. But oh, there's this great thing, that his obedience, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What a great thing. Could there be a greater thing? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And if that be so among mere men, if they could make no greater sacrifice for one another, no more loving a demonstration than to give up their own lives for those they love. Oh, transfer it, apply it, exalt it to what the great Jesus Christ has done for yourselves in laying down his life for your lives, in taking the place of the substitute and bearing your punishment, giving himself to be the sacrifice for your sin. Greater love hath no man than this ever, than the love of the man Christ Jesus, to put away your sin by taking that sin upon himself, and so being the sacrifice for your sin. Never did any such a great thing for anyone than the Lord Jesus Christ did for you. Greater love is no man's, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And he calls you friends. Oh, but you were enemies when he was shedding his blood, when he was being punished for your enmity-filled sins. Oh, but what love is that then? Coming over all that enmity and dealing with it, to put it away forever. Then as you take these symbols of the Lord's broken body and of his shed blood, truly there should be a gladness and a thankfulness. There should be a welcoming of him coming to you in the sacrament, and perhaps an enabling by his grace to say, the Lord hath done great things for us, whence joy to us is brought. Friends, we are not going to keep from you any longer these symbols of the Lord's broken body. Done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Great things he did in his appearing in the world to accomplish your redemption, to put away sin, your sin, by the sacrifice of himself. But truly great things the Lord has done for you too, in appearing to your own souls, in the application of redemption, in bringing these things to you, in bringing them from what he accomplished all those years ago when he was in the world, to be appearing to you in the gospel, bringing these things home to your souls in a day of his power, even before he appeared to you, even before your mind was enlightened in the knowledge of himself. What great things he was doing for you, to preserve you alive in the world, to hold you back from many a danger, and to restrain you perhaps from many a sin, which you're well aware your own heart would have run after. What great things he was doing for you, because his heart was set upon the day when he would make you willing in his power to embrace him in the gospel. Perhaps you were hearing the gospel during those years, perhaps you were not. But the Lord was watching over you and in his providence, ensuring the preservation of your life in the world and preparing the way. And those were great things, that he did not punish you, that he did not leave you, to leave this world one way or another before you were born again and converted. Great things he has done for you, and great things he did when he appeared by way of the law to show you your sin, when your own true character began to appear before your own conscience, and you started to realize you were the man, you were the woman, you were the sinner. Oh, how uncomfortable it was, how disturbing it was. But what a great thing it was that the Lord did not leave you to go on thinking that you were good enough in yourself. What a great thing it was that he did, that he showed you that of yourself there was nothing you could do to correct it or to improve it, nothing to do to put away your sin of yourself, bringing you to the end of yourself. Was that not a great thing he did? But the great thing he did when he shined into your heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of himself, shining in the gospel, when salvation was revealed to you, whether it came as a sudden bright dawning of the day, or whether it more gradually came upon your soul in the appreciation of it. The Lord has done great things for us, that he did not destroy us when we went on in a life of sin, that he did not leave us to think we were living a life that would be good enough to please God. But oh, what a great thing he did when he revealed himself to us, when he showed you himself, when you had your mind enlightened in the way of salvation, and you saw that it was through faith, and it was through faith in Christ alone that salvation comes, and that that salvation was offered to you, and that salvation was for you to take, for you to receive by faith. And what great things he did for you when he wrought faith in your soul, a faith that was not of yourselves. It was the gift of God, not of works of your own. The new birth that went immediately before that exercise of faith to take away the heart of stone, which perhaps he was showing you was so incapable of doing anything at all, and made it a heart of flesh. What great things he did for you to give you a heart that was now so willing and so soft and so receptive and so willing to do what it had always been so unwilling to do, to place all your trust and confidence in him alone, and to turn in repentance from all that iniquity that had held you your whole life in its chains, which you were clanking all your days, but now to want to be rid of it. What a great thing he did for you, friends, to give you that new view of your own sin, that which you were so wedded to, you now wanted to be so far away from you. That which you had been consumed in seeking was now the thing that you most wanted to put away. And he remembers you, friends. He remembers you in those days. He remembers the kindness of thy youth. He remembers the love of thine espousals. when thou wentest after him in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. And though you may be saying, oh, but where am I now? And what does it come to now? He's still the Saviour that does great things for you. He's preserving you. Faith has not been extinguished. Repentance has not altogether died. Love may have waned at times, but it can wax again. And the joy of salvation can be restored unto you. Has he not done that for you once and again? And will he not do it again for you again? And the great thing he's doing is preserving you. And he will never leave nor forsake you. You're in his hand and in his Father's hand. And no one and no thing, not even your own remaining sin and heart of unbelief, will snatch you out of that hand. He will preserve you unto the end. You will be with him forever and ever and ever. The Lord has done great things for you, whereof you have every reason to be glad. And he will yet do great things for you. And oh then, as you rise from the table, be doing so in the exercise of faith. Faith in this wonder-working Redeemer that has already done so great things for you in his so great salvation and will yet do so great things for you in reliance upon him who has begun the good work in you, then and looking to him to perform it unto that day, that it will not wither and die, but on the contrary, be quickened and grow and advance, will not keep you any longer at the Lord's table, but with the praise of Psalm 103 on your lips and by his grace in your hearts as well, you'll rise from the table. O thou my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless. O thou my soul, bless God the Lord.